You are listening to the podcast of Lancaster Covenant Church. We seek to worship God, tell others about Jesus Christ, nurture new believers, and grow together in the knowledge and love of our Savior.
I don't know if we're ready to start. I just thought it would wake us up, and now we are. Welcome to worship. For those of you who are joining us online, we are going to open our service by singing The Old Rugged Cross. So please stand. And Bruce and Ray will get us started here. Janelle, go for it. Sing it out.
Yeah.
Please be seated. Good morning. That's better. I'm going to go through a few announcements, and then we are going to have whatever seniors from the senior class that have graduated come up, and we're going to pray. So let's maybe have them come up first, and then we'll do the announcements after that. So any seniors that are here, I don't know how many, because I know some left already, some are at Blue Water. We still have gifts for them, so others, come on up, guys. I know it's scary. Awesome. Any others? It's good. I'm going to ask now any deacons or anyone else, family members, we're going to all come up here and we're going to pray for these folks. And I'm going to find their gifts that the church is giving them. It's pretty awesome. Colton, where are you? There you are. And Josh. Okay, Cora. Here you are. And Gracie. And Paige. Is that a Paige? Is anyone else? Did I miss anybody else? We'll get these to them. Some of the others are Liz and McKenna and Daniel. We also had Courtney, April, and Emma, who are not here today, which they probably didn't even know. So we're going to pray for them. Let's stand. We're going to pray together. So, and if we have, would someone start for me? John, would you? Okay. Let's lay hands on them, and let's pray together. Let's pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we're here to honor our seniors. Point in life where we give up our role partly as parents and see them go off on their own and make their own choices. And we pray that, Lord, the training that they have received at home and in this church may carry them through the any tough times and guide them in their choices ahead. In Christ's name.
And Lord, we just thank you that for the privilege of being their parents and their church, Lord. And we just ask you that you be with them as they go out on their own, Lord. We ask you to please provide a group for them when they're at college or wherever they're at that can support them and help them to continue to grow. We ask that they lean on each other and keep in touch. We just ask that they also know that they can always come home. They have a church family and families that love them. And that they're always a support of their church. And we just ask you that they can continue to be a light to you and to grow. And as they face this world, there's a lot of crazy things going on. And we just pray that they stand strong in their faith and be a light to those around them. We just love them and we just thank you for the blessing of being able to raise them and be their parents. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, I just thank you so much for each one of these young people, Lord, and I thank you for the plans that you have for each one of them. Lord, I just pray that their hearts and their ears and their mind will be attentive to what that plan is, Lord, whatever it is. Help them to dream big. Help them to be bold in what you have out there. Lord, you're so awesome, and you love each one of them so much, and I just pray that they'll always remember that. That they'll feel you near them. I just pray that they'll dig into your word, Lord, and just continue to grow in their faith in you. I just thank you for each one of them. In Jesus' name.
Father, I just pray, Lord, that they would put you first, Lord, just to love you with all their heart and soul and mind and strength and all that they have, Father. That they would trust in you and lean on you when they have hard times and times of uncertainty. I pray, Lord, that they would just love others the way that you want us to love others and put themselves for, or others first, to sacrifice ourselves. And finally, I just pray that the world will not pull them in, but stand firm in their faith, Lord. There's so many temptations that I just pray, Lord, that you will just be firm and just remember their roots. And just, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us through their lives. And I just pray that they will move forward. And I just guide them, Father. Amen.
Anyone else want to pray over here? Anybody?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time as youth emerging into young adults and adulthood. We ask, Lord, that you would go with them, that you would cover them, that you would keep them. We trust you, Lord, with their future and the decisions and the courses that they take. We just pray, Lord, that they would continually look back to you in all things and look forward to you in the things to come. And we thank you, Lord, for the grounding that they have here in this community, in these families, in this church, Lord. And we just give them up to you today and trust you to hold them in the future in a world that's so hostile. And what an opportunity as young people to shine their light. And so we pray that you'd give them boldness and courage, and you'd give them strength in the days to come as they forge into this world and shine for you. We give all this praise to you in Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for giving these young people to us. Lord, we've watched them grow up. We have laughed. We've cried together. Lord, and now we seek you together. God, help us to stand firm in our faith, each and every one of us, Lord, to know the truth of your word. Help us to speak the truth in love. We pray that for these young people, God, that they would go out and just let their light so shine before men that they would glorify their people, would glorify you, Lord Jesus, that they would give you glory. God, and we just thank you for them. We pray that you'd bless them now and direct their lives. Give them work to do, Lord. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. If you'd like to turn in your bulletins, we'll continue our service. We have an anniversary today. Bob and Jeannie Laud are celebrating an anniversary. Also, Seaver Thompson has a birthday, and Josh and Rebecca Whitlock, happy anniversary. Excuse me. Monday is Jasper Brown's birthday. Wednesday, what's that? Oh, it's Rebecca's birthday. It's not your anniversary. Didn't look right. I'm going to get that changed. Happy anniversary anyway, whenever that is. August, I know. Very good, thank you. Happy birthday, Rebecca. And Leah Matthews' birthday is Wednesday, Lily Peterson's is Friday, and Jocelyn Vig is on Saturday. So if you see these awesome folks during the week, please reach out to them and bless them. We have meetings coming up. Education meeting is June 2nd. Council is June 10th, and Women's Retreat, again, at Blue Water, is June 11th through the 13th, and Penny Persons will be the speaker. Also, the Wednesday night Bible study will be meeting. I won't be there, but the Wednesday night study will be meeting, and we'll be carrying on, so that's also a change in the bulletin. We made that decision later. And also, Julie and I are heading out of town, so we're going to be gone for a while. Pretty much the month of June and the first week in July, we did decide to come back for the community service and for the rodeo. So we will be here for that. And then we're going to bug out of town one more time to celebrate family out in western Nebraska, so over July 4th. So the next few Sundays, you'll be blessed with Mason Peters here preaching. That's always awesome to have him come. And then we're going to have Curtis Nygaard, June 20th. Community service is June 27th. That'll be uptown. And July 4th is John Erkus. Is that right, John? I believe so. So I think I got them all. And then the following service after the community service, after July 4th, July 11th will be at the fair. So the next time I'll be preaching is July 18th, yeah. So you'll get a nice long break from me. So, yay. I heard that, Dan. So yeah, that'll be good. Thank you very much. And yes, I will have my cell phone with me, so. And I know I wasn't supposed to announce that, but I don't care. Julie will screen the calls. Okay, any other announcements this morning? Okay, this will be the time then. We will have a couple ushers come forward, and for those of you who are listening online, I need a couple volunteers, by the way, why I said that, for ushers. Praise team can come on up, and we would encourage you to send in prayer requests as well during this time for those who are listening online, and then Sue will come up and pray after we sing our song and take our offering. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for all that you do for us. You are the author. You are the giver of life. You sustain us. You lead us. You guide us, Lord. And we know, God, as best as we can, all that you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that you'd bless this offering now and guide us as we give. And we pray, God, that you would multiply it and bless it. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please sing with us as we sing The God Who Stays.
I would have turned around.
Sue, if you would come up, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Scripture today is from Romans 8, verses 5 through 17. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. For if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life becomes because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, but live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, they're heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provide we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Okay, prayer request. Of course, we want to remember Jesse. What else do we have? Okay, Faye? Okay. Is she okay?
Well, I think so. She'll be okay. She bent her glasses, but her
iron nose. Oh, for sure. Scott?
My brother, Pat, health insurance.
Pat?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody was over here, yeah. So that's a praise then that it's okay. And your first name is?
Alex.
Alex, okay. Okay. And yes, Linda.
Pray for Karen, who is
for Karen?
Aaron.
Aaron.
Faye?
We have lots of travelers, I would imagine, this weekend. I had a bunch of kidney stones taken out of a kidney last week, and we've had a few hiccups afterwards, so we're just going to pray that that settles down. Okay, yes. Okay. Are they excited? Okay, let's go. Oh, John.
Just continued prayer for the men and women, the officers of CBP that are continually still working on the board. You know, you don't hear it too much maybe, but it's still a lot ongoing. And then also just the folks that are arriving that God would reveal in their hearts and lives as well. But you know, there's a lot of tragedy down there.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we're just so blessed that we live in a country where we can freely come before you and lay all of our petitions before you, and we know that you will answer each and every one of them in your way. And we want to continue our prayers for Jesse, who is, to me, just the walking example of the power of prayer. She's just doing so, so much better, and we pray that this strength and her body will continue to heal and get those lungs nice and strong. And so we just continue her in our prayers. We want to continue praying for her family as they have to wait so long. And for children, it's hard for them to understand why mom has to be in the hospital for so long. And so we just pray that you watch all of them over them and continue helping Jesse gain the strength that she needs. We also do want to remember Galen and Julie as they go off on vacation, and we're going to be lost without him, I know. But we just pray that this is a time where he can rest, relax, recoup, just thoroughly enjoy. And we pray that everybody leaves, forgets his cell phone number. Don't bother him. Just give him the time that he needs to thoroughly rest and relax. We want to remember our graduates again one more time as they start another chapter in their life, and we're just so thankful for these young people, and we really are blessed with wonderful young people, and we're just wishing them nothing but the best as their life continues. We pray for Peggy as she undergoes knee surgery this week, and we pray that that will go well, and she's going to feel so much better when that knee isn't bothering her all the time. We pray for Betty that when she fell this morning, and we just pray that there are no underlying things that we haven't seen yet because of this fall. So be with her as she recoups from this and just make sure that everything's going to be okay. We have some unspoken requests for like Pat and Aaron, and you know what the situations are with each of these, and Lord, we just pray that you help them through these problems and take care of whatever the problem is. We thank you, Lord, for Alex, whose knee is so much better, and we just know he's going to be so thankful that it's been fixed, and so we're so grateful for that. We have many people, of course, that will be traveling during the end of the holiday season now, and so we just pray that everybody gets back home safe and sound, and while they remain here, that their vacation time is a fun time, visit with family, make memories, and we're so thankful for that. And we pray for these children that are going to be going away for part of the summer, and we just pray that they travel well and that everything is just as good as it can be for them, and we just pray that they have a wonderful time and then come home refreshed. And we pray for all of these people that work down at the border. And we live in such a safe environment. We have no idea what life is like for those down there. There is so much tragedy and so much death and so much hardship. And we just pray for the people that have to work with this every day. Give them the strength that they need. Help them through all these situations as they come across them. So we want to also remember all of our military families now who, of course, are remembering loved ones that have died either in service or suicide after service. And we just pray that you give them the strength that they need during this time, because it's so hard to lose loved ones in any way. But when it's a military situation, it's just that much harder, I think. We thank you, Lord, for this gorgeous, gorgeous weather. We pray that everybody enjoys the rest of the weekend. We love you, Lord. We thank you for everything. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you, Sue. We had a couple of prayer requests that came in afterwards, so let's pray again for a couple things. Also, just to remember all that is going on in our lives around us. There's so many needs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray for Carol's granddaughter. God, we just lift her up to you, and we pray for healing. She was in an accident, and you know, God, that she's struggling right now with a concussion. And God, just bless and encourage Carol as well, Lord. As a grandma, that's got to be hard. Be with her granddaughter. God, bring healing to her, and just bless her and help Carol to know that you are there for them. We also pray for Terry Johnson, Lord, that you'd bless him and guide him. Be with Gail and encourage her, Lord. We pray that you would just intervene, God, as a caregiver and bring healing not only in health but also to their marriage and encourage them. Lord, we just pray that you'd guide us. We thank you, God. Bless this service. Lord, even as we come to you now with more music, and God, help us to grab a hold of the words, God, and to really worship you, God. God, not just speaking them, but in our hearts. We just praise you now and thank you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The praise team can come back up. We will continue to sing. Please stand, everyone. And we will begin by singing, "Thank You, Jesus, for the Blood." Let's sing it out.
Thank you, Jesus, for the blood.
you so much for the love that you have for each one of us, Lord. Even when we mess up, Lord, you still love us no matter what. Lord, we just pray that we'll turn to you and just continue to search you and love you, Lord, and trust you in everything. Lord, we just pray for the service today, Lord, that you'll open our hearts and our minds. Give us wisdom and understanding in the words that you have, Lord. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please be seated. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and God, as we open your book, your love letter to us, God, help us to hear from you. Speak to us through the power of your Holy Spirit into our lives so we know what it means, God, to be born of the Spirit and to live by the Spirit. God, we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we talked about Romans 8, verses 1 through 4, and we talked about our redemption. And one of my favorite verses, verse 1, is there is no condemnation, therefore, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? In other words, we heard about our salvation, which is a gift from God. In John 1, verse 12, he says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." I've heard that verse over and over again, and this morning as I was reading it here early, I just thought, he gave us that right. I've heard so many times about people who live this life and they get so upset because they feel that they're being cheated. They feel like they have a right to something. Well, let me tell you, outside of Jesus Christ, you have a right to nothing. You don't deserve one thing. And that's a good thing for us to grab a hold of and get, because then I think we would better understand this incredible gift that God gives us. When he gave us that right to become children of God, what an incredible gift that is. In verse 2, last week, we heard about this life-giving Spirit that freed us from the power of sin and death. And I thought, you know, what does that really mean? Because I don't think we really get it. Sometimes we live our lives as if we're never going to die. So we go through life and we enjoy life, and when it comes to the end of life, we think, oh man, what did I miss? What did I forget? What didn't I hear? What didn't I understand? Because now I'm scared. Well, last week we talked about living life in the Spirit and just how that began, and today we're going to talk about what it's like to live life by the Spirit. And we're going to move on to verses 5 through 17 of Romans chapter 8. Sue read it earlier, but I do that intentionally because I want you to hear it more than once, because we can't hear it enough. To begin with, I would like to just look at verses 9 and 10, because I believe this is foundational for us as believers in Christ. Paul talks to the Romans. He talks to them as Christians. He says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they don't belong to Christ." It's plain and simple. "But if Christ is in you," Paul said, "then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness." Isn't that beautiful? I think of the passage in Ecclesiastes that talks about there is a time for everything. Time to be born, and there's a time to die for every single one of us. What do we do with this life? What we do with what God has given us is so incredibly important. Now, there's a lot in the passage that we're looking at today, and we're going to go do our best to move through it, and I pray that God would just reveal the truth of his word to you today, and maybe in a new, fresh way. So we're going to back up to verse 5, and we're going to get started. Paul says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. The mind governed by the flesh, it doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it even do so. Can't happen. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Can't please God if you're out of Christ. So when Paul divides people, what I see, into two categories, we're so busy categorizing people these days, it just drives me crazy. Because there's really only two categories. Those who are controlled by their sin nature, and those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. Doesn't matter who you are, what color, what race, what creed, whatever you are either in Christ or you're not. Doesn't matter what church you go to, doesn't matter what you are doing, you are either controlled by either your sin nature or you are controlled by the Holy Spirit. Those who are controlled by the sin nature are those who have their minds set on the things of the flesh. They become selfish. They haven't actually become selfish, they're just selfish. And it says that way leads to death, or in other words, they're not saved, they are lost. And we're thinking, this is not a physical death we're talking about. This is a spiritual death, which is far worse. But those who have their mind controlled by the Holy Spirit are those who are saved, and they have their mind set on the things of the Spirit, which leads to eternal life. I want you to be clear before we move on that every single one of us were in that first category. And we'd still be there if Jesus hadn't offered what he's offered. If he hadn't given what he's given. Because you see, Jesus took on himself the sins of the whole world, personally paid your penalty for sin. He is the only way to the Father. And as God's word tells us, God did this out of total unbelievable, out-of-this-world kind of love for us. It's a love that the world cannot understand. Verse 9 makes it clear to me that if you're a Christian, you are controlled by the Holy Spirit and not by your sin nature. So does that mean that you and I are never going to sin, that we're just going to be these perfect Christians walking around never making mistakes? I think we all know better than that. What do we know of Paul, who as the more he grew in his faith, the more he realized what he was being saved from. And the more he realized his struggle with sin, he said, the very thing I want to do, what is it? What did he say? I don't do it. And the things that I don't want to do, now that I'm in Christ, I find I'm doing. I'm messing up all the time. Living this Christian life by the Spirit is not us getting our act together. I want you to know that. It's not about trying harder to do the righteous thing. To me, it's all about submitting to the power of the Holy Spirit in you, that gift that Christ gave you. And that Spirit lives inside you. If you are in Christ, your salvation is already in place. Your eternity has begun. And you are saved for the day of redemption, as we hear about. So with that thought in mind, I want us to turn to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And he tells the Ephesians, he said, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in other words, speaking of the lost, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves, over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. And they are full of greed, Paul says. That, however, is not the way of life you learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off that old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. When I think of that, I think of Galatians 5:24, one of my favorite one passages in Scripture, again, that says we need to crucify the flesh. This is a lifelong process. We are to crucify the flesh, that sinful desire, that thing that we have the tendency to want to do. So just before this passage in Ephesians, Paul just finished explaining the importance of two goals for the church. These goals were unity in Christ and maturity in Christ. He says, I want you to have unity in Christ, and I want you to have maturity in Christ. Well, if you've been a Christian for a while, I hope you know what I'm talking about, because I think it would mean that unity would usually come after maturity, doesn't it? I think when we're pretty early on in our Christian walk, man, we get offended so quick. Things bother us. Things rock our world that probably don't anymore now that we're like really, really old. Things still get to us, trust me. But it doesn't change us. It doesn't shake or rock our foundation like it once did when we were first in Christ. It is in maturity in Christ that we are to support one another. Excuse me. That we must stand on the truth of God's word together. That we must forgive one another when we hurt each other, because we do hurt each other. We mess up. And we need to share this main goal that Paul talks about, this unity in Christ. Christ is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He's the one that saves us. He brings us redemption. He brings us justification. Those are all the same. He also brings sanctification. We have a part to play in that, but you don't get drawn to Christ or grow in Him without the work of the Holy Spirit. No credit to you or to me, either one of us. Matthew 10:39, these are the words of Jesus. He says, whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever will lose it for my sake will find it. Again, you hear about, it's not about trying harder, it's about letting go. It's about giving up. It's about sacrificing, being a living sacrifice, as Romans 12 talks about. Now listen to what Paul says to the Colossian church. Paul says, since then you've been raised with Christ. He's saying, since you are now Christians, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, are you getting that? When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life. He says, then put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Basically, he says, have nothing to do with crucify that flesh. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is adultery, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Then Paul goes on to talk about their past. He said, you used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, guys. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these too: anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on this new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, this is what Paul says I want you to do. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, gentleness, or humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, Paul says, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and psalms and hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, Paul says, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through him. Isn't that awesome? What incredible words of encouragement. What did you hear in your heart as I read these things to you? Did you feel convicted? Did you feel condemned? Or did you feel encouraged? I hope you felt encouraged. I hope you heard about life-giving instructions from a loving God who wants the very best for you. The important thing in this living by the Spirit is that we don't live this alone. We don't have to. Again, the importance of church and coming together. And we hear the words when it says, don't get in the habit of some have been doing where they don't come together. Don't avoid church. We need each other. We live by the Spirit with the Spirit's help, with the Spirit's leading. We are no longer controlled by the sin nature. We are not a slave to that. Do we struggle with it? We sure do. But we are not a slave to it. So back to Romans, and we'll finish our passage for today, starting in verse 12. Paul says to the Romans, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. Think about that word right there. We have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh. The obligation then is to live according, not to the flesh, to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We say, Papa. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And now if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. That blows my mind, being co-heirs with the Son of God. If we indeed share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Verse 12 says, so brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, and it's not to live by the flesh. Not to live by our sin nature. We are to live according to the Spirit. And the best way for me to describe that, I would just like to read it to you. In Galatians 5, 16 through 26. I'm going to read it from the NLT. I just like, it's kind of a different way of hearing some of these words, and it just really speaks to me. So listen closely. Galatians 5, 16 through 26 in the NLT. Paul says to the Galatians, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting against each other. So you are not free to carry out your own good intentions. It's not about you. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sin nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sin nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another to jealousy anymore. This kind of living is what is called living by the Spirit. It's a whole new kind of life. And if you read in Romans 12, this is our obligation, not to live according to the sin nature, but we're to live according to the Spirit. Surrendering, submitting. It's not about trying harder. It's not about working out on our own. We are led totally by the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life. Lord, help us to understand what that means. To be born once into the world and then to be born once into your kingdom. We are told that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. You tell us that whoever have received your message, whoever has believed in your heart, you gave the right to become children of God. Every part of us, God, anything that is good in us is of you, and there's nothing that we can add to that. And yet you tell us to work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Lord, we need you. We are living in such an incredibly broken world right now. It just seems more evident than ever, even though since the beginning, God, when sin entered this world, all of creation began to groan. But there is coming a day when you are making everything new. God, we thank you. We pray for those of us, God, who know you, who have received you, who have believed in your name, that you would just assure in us the salvation that you have set for us. And you tell us that nothing can separate us from that amazing love. God, as we think about our life in you, think about the gift. Help us to think about the gift. Help us to think about what we are in obligation. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves to righteousness, and what an amazing gift that is. Lord, we just pray that you'd guide us now, that you would encourage us, and that you would lead us. God, help us to live, God, with joy. Help us to live with all these fruits of the Spirit that you've given us. It's love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and faithfulness, and gentleness. God, self-control. God, help us to not look at to fulfill our desires, God, which so easily can deceive us. God, help our desires to be only of you. Make us who you want us to be. Make this church what you want it to be, Lord. Be at work in our families and in our marriages, in our children and grandchildren. God, help us to be able to look back on our lives and know, God, that we were faithful to follow you. God, and I pray for everyone here, God, for every member, God, and all other families, that the circle would be unbroken. God, that we would just enjoy completeness of being families set apart to serve you, to be faithful to live for you. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand, and we're going to sing our final song. After I come back from our little break, we're going to be doing a baptism service. I know some of you have talked to me, and if you have, please talk to me again anyway. And we are going to do a baptism service sometime July and August, somewhere in that range, when we feel the Lord leading. So, after the song. Okay. Thank you, John. So let's sing it out. This is I love this song, The River.
Aside, and we can all pray for him as he leaves on a sabbatical. So I'll get Galen. You come in the middle. I'll meet you in the middle with Red Mike.
Join me. Can I?
You can have your wife too. I suppose she's part of this.
More than you know, John. 42 years.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know, Galen is not going on a vacation. He's going on a sabbatical. And that's different. And sabbatical, sabbat, Sabbath, there's a connection. So we as a church are removing him from all duties for a month and a bit. So I ask you as a church to respect that. This is a sabbatical. But I'm going to pray because life still happens. And we're asking that not a whole lot of life happens. So praying with both of you today. Lord, Heavenly Father, we know that Galen and Julie offer so much of themselves to this church, not just their time, but especially their hearts. And that takes a toll. And we ask that this next month and a little bit, you hold back that the drains on their life, that you give them a true Sabbath, a time when they can rest and concentrate on you and the gifts that you give them. So please give them a good Sabbath. Let others in the church step up and fill needs that arise. And may they come back refreshed and renewed and willing to give again. In Christ's name, amen.
Am I still on? Yeah, I am. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gift of life. God, we just praise you for that. We pray that you would guide us, and God, that you would make us, God, the church, and I'm not speaking again about this denomination or this building. God, but in each and every one of us, God, help us to know that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And God, we are called to make disciples. Go out and make disciples. God, and we just pray that you would help us to do that. Give us a heart for that. And we just praise you now, Jesus. Guide us, encourage us as we go from here. And we pray that all in your name. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Lancaster Covenant Church podcast. For more information on gathering times and the Lancaster Covenant Church community, please visit our website at lancastercovenant.com.